And now, Tim Dillon is going to hell! With Tim Dillon and Ray Kump.
Welcome to Tim Dillon's Going to Hell, everybody. My name is Tim Dillon. Ray Kump is out this week. He is at a family thing in Long Island. I don't know what that means.
Is that what he said?
He was, you know, deliberately vague.
It's a family thing.
It's a family thing. So he's doing something out there.
What does his family look like?
Well, so his family's interesting. So he's got a mom and a dad. They're big people. He's a big man. He's got a brother who's like a normal-looking brother. Yeah. And his brother's got a girlfriend. But like they go out to like German restaurants like Zum Stammtisch in Williamsburg.
Yeah.
And Ray, like his dad's an accountant. And Ray and his dad fight about economics.
Yeah.
And Ray will be like, "This is a Federal Reserve." And the mother will have to step in and be like, "Boys, stop. It's Christmas." You know? She'll be like, "Everybody, come on. Relax." She's a sweet woman. She makes brownies and... really good brownies.
Yeah.
I mean, they're nice people. Long Island.
I wonder what they think of Ray, because he's not a failure per se.
No,
but he's got the aesthetics of a failure.
Well, what's interesting about him is that he's incredibly intelligent.
Yeah.
If you get past
the words coming out of his mouth,
right? Which is hard.
Yeah.
And you know, so I'm sure that they know that, but I'm sure that there's frustrations they have with him.
He is as close as you could get to a real-life Forrest Gump.
He is somebody who, like, he's a character. Like, he's like a guy that John C. Reilly would play in a movie.
Uh-huh.
But then you see John C. Reilly, and he's like, "Oh, you have a band," and it's like,
yeah.
It's sad in another way, but it's like, "Oh, you're not at all the character."
Yeah.
Like, Ray is the guy you make a movie about.
Right, yeah. Forrest Gump.
Right.
That would be the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you ever read the book?
Forrest Gump? No.
It is, I mean, I've only read the first page, but the option, it's insane because the book is much different than the film.
Is it really?
Very much so. And when they optioned the book, it had been like, it only had sold maybe I think like 20,000 copies or something. This wasn't like a wildly successful book.
When was it?
1987.
Okay.
And
the movie didn't come out for like a decade.
Yeah, the book he fucks all the time and he's like jacked or whatever.
Oh wow.
He's, yeah, he's retarded. And like the opening paragraph is like, "I don't like the term, you know, retard, because when people say retard, it makes them think of one of them Down syndrome mongoloid type of retards looking Chinese and shit with the eyes too close together, drooling and sucking on their own dick."
If that is the first line, this is the best book that's ever been written.
It's very similar to that.
Okay.
In fact, I mean, Shannon's not here.
Yeah,
but
one's here.
I would pull it up.
That's amazing.
How
can I get it? I have a phone. We have phones.
Yeah, just go to Google Books, Forrest Gump, and it should be the first result. And you should be able to get the first page.
How do you stumble upon the book? Were you just
curious?
Somebody
sent it to me. Okay. I used to be able to like find my own shit, but now because of this show, I just said there's people out there that find, which, you know, honestly feels worse than having writers or joke theft.
Is
not discovering things on my own.
People just sending you knowledge.
People sending me stuff to talk about. And it's there's this new guy I'm obsessed with on Instagram that somebody else sent me, and it's like, if I had found them on my own,
it would have been great.
It would have been great, but somebody,
it's like you're discovering it. I have like here, go to Google. I have the book up.
Yeah,
there's probably, you probably go to Pages or something.
Book in print. Get the book in print by ebook. View sample.
This is great.
Yeah, Forrest Gump, Winston Groom.
I love the idea of somebody finding it and going, "This needs to be a movie."
Yeah, that's what you know. Some coked out fucking retard agent. In the 1980s, being like, "This is a heartwarming," and then it turned into the movie Forrest Gump, which is, this is it. This is my favorite. The first line is, "Let me say this: being an idiot is no box of chocolates," which is not the line in the movie. They say life is like a box of chocolates.
Yeah. Oh, wow. They really made that like a Disney-fied version.
The first sentence of the "being a retard is sort of like fucking a box of chocolates."
Why can't you fuck chocolate?
Yeah, right. It would be like if Star Wars were a novel before the movies.
Right.
And Yoda's like, "There's being a faggot and being straight. And this is the light and dark side of the universe." People laugh, lose patience, treat you shabby. Now, they say folks are supposed to be kind to the afflicted, but let me tell you, it ain't always that way. Even so, I got no complaints, because I reckon I done live a pretty interesting life, so to speak. And here's where it gets good. I've been an idiot since I was born. My IQ is near 70, which qualifies me, so they say. Probably, though, I'm closer to being an imbecile or maybe even a moron, but personally, I'd rather think of myself like a halfwit or something and not no idiot. Because when people think of an idiot, more than likely, they'd be thinking of one of them Mongolian idiots, the ones with their eyes too close together would look like Chinamen and drool a lot and play with themselves. Now, I'm slow, I'll grant you that, but I'm probably a lot brighter than folks think, and it's just...
It's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And then they turned it into Forrest Gump. Right.
Just a heroic.
Right.
That's, you know, I wanted to see the book movie.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted to see the real movie.
Uh-huh.
Why hasn't, did you like that book, Confederacy of Dunces? I feel like you're a guy that's.
I've never read it.
And I feel like you'd be a guy that's like, ugh.
I've never read it, and I'll tell you why I never read it, because I'm of the opinion that no book is funny, which is true.
Okay.
There's not a single.
I laughed, but I mean, it's like Twitter. Nobody's funny on Twitter.
Well,
I say that, people get angry with me, but I said, nobody's really, you're not laughing.
Yeah.
You go, okay.
I mean, I read Jack Handy's book, and Jack Handy's hilarious.
Yeah, right.
And it's like, you know, I mean, I appreciate it because it's Jack Handy, but
sure.
I mean, it's impossible to make a fucking book funny.
Yeah. Right.
And I guess, you know, when I was like reading all the shit you're supposed to read,
yeah,
in late teens or whatever,
yeah,
I read Catch 22, which everybody says is, you know, hilarious. And it's like, it's unfucking readable. It's so boring.
Yeah.
It's not funny. And so after that, anytime anybody's like, oh, Confederate Dunces, you know, you got to read,
yeah,
that. That's hilarious.
It's worthwhile read.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, listen, I agree with you to the extent that, like, it's as funny as a book will ever be.
Yeah.
Which is, here's the other thing, not to speak ill of the dead. And he had a really interesting show, but everyone always said to me, like, Bourdain show's hilarious. I never found it hilarious.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I never found it hilarious, but I never watched a lot of it.
Yeah.
But it was, I never found, was it laugh out loud funny? I don't know. It could have been.
That's the other thing, too, is I guess you, as a comedian, you're sort of tainted. And
maybe I am. I think I'm ruined.
Nothing is.
When you commodify an essential part of your personality,
right,
it's fucking
nothing,
over.
Nothing is fucking
Nothing's
funny.
Good.
I talk to regular people and they'll,
yeah,
say something.
Yeah, it's funny. And
it just registers as a joke and you just go, right, right.
You stab them, yeah, in the neck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I forget that I'm supposed to give people, like,
yeah,
some sort of, like, like visceral or like limbic,
right,
feedback,
like justification. Like, yeah, you're right. Oh, that's funny. You're right.
Right. Yeah. All, yeah. It just sounds like people running things past me.
Right. Yeah. What do you think?
Right. Exactly.
Have you seen this?
Yeah.
But I've tried to watch a Bourdain show. It was. He's a really, you know, smart guy and whatever. Good guy from what, you know, people that know him.
Yeah.
But it was always very. It was very, like, serious.
Uh huh.
And self. Important. It was kind of like, this is really,
yeah,
important, and some of it was probably.
You know, I mean,
but it wasn't funny because I don't. I already disconnect there. Like, it's not funny to me.
Yeah.
When you're trying to solve whatever, you, mm-hmm, know, the water crisis, and, you know, but I mean, he also never stepped out of his, like, you know, he never kind of like pulled back the fourth wall and was like, you know, he would be in Turkey and he'd be sitting with a family and they're like, we haven't seen our daughter.
Mm-hmm.
For 2 days,
yeah,
you know, and then he'd start talking about hummus.
Yeah.
And it would be like, at a certain point, I'd want him to look at the camera and go, I know this seems ludicrous.
Right.
But we got to talk about olives now.
Yeah.
Like, did that never happen?
I had never actually watched the show. He,
yeah,
followed me on Twitter, and,
yeah,
that's the reason I think he's a good guy. And,
you know, he is a good guy.
That's really,
as Harry Kundabalu said, we lost a hero.
Yeah.
He was a great white guy.
Yeah.
We lost a hero.
I mean, this is, his death has quickly turned into, like,
it's insane.
Well, it's like a way for all these people to feel remorse about. I mean, what, like, Anthony Bourdain was, not him,
yeah,
but like
the idea.
Consuming Anthony Bourdain is,
right,
for like people that think like going on vacation and having dessert is subversive behavior.
Well, this is what I mean. I mean, we're not learning about the world through grape leaves.
Right.
Like,
exactly.
The idea that we are is crazy.
Yeah.
That's now, that's why, like,
a friend of mine, they posted, they're like, you know, you shattered the status quo or whatever. It's like, no, he's living,
yeah,
the exact life that you as a middle or upper middle,
yeah,
class person should be, which,
right,
is like eating fancy things,
right,
and going on vacation.
And one thing about him which was cool is that he cared about the cuisine of poor people, but everyone does.
Sure.
Everyone kind of likes burritos.
Yeah.
They just don't like the people who make and eat burritos.
I just don't like that everything now is interpreted as a revolutionary act when it's like,
right,
I mean, you really want to. Here's like in terms of food, guys. That really, yeah. You know, you want to really rattle some feathers.
Yeah.
You turn yourself into a bloated pay pig that humiliates themselves,
right.
with giant pants on TV for 15 years.
You do mukbangs,
and then you force
those things
that company.
Where you just eat that. Yeah.
Well, no, you eat Subway sandwiches.
Yeah.
You become Subway Jared, and then become this cultural laughing stock.
And
really,
then, right.
You destroy whatever makes you human.
Yeah.
And then you make that company waste money. Protecting and hiding an active pedophile.
Right. And then
permanently destroy their brand from the inside, like an Agent Smith would.
Yeah. That's subversive.
That's subversive.
That would have impressed
that
me.
That is a revolutionary act.
That, if Jared from Subway dies,
yeah.
I want people on Twitter going,
there's
we
a
lost
hero.
A hero.
I want Lin-Manuel Miranda posting, tie one string.
Yeah. Wait, what is that? What was that? That was creepy.
Know. He's like such a fucking retard.
This
it's
is
also like,
strange.
You know what people should do? They should en masse message Lin-Manuel Miranda. If you are going to kill yourself, please
right.
find a way to contact him and see how quickly he's dismissive.
It's also
you.
Like,
if he even
yeah,
acknowledges
if
you.
He even acknowledges you.
And because there's no other way to see that as like you're making this about yourself.
There was something so weird about the way he tweeted. He was like, tie one. He was like, it was about like hanging because Bourdain
yeah.
hung himself with a belt.
Yeah.
Lin-Manuel Miranda's like, tie one. I'm like, wait, whose idea?
Yeah. He's like, put your friend's heart in your mouth
yeah,
and pull the trigger.
Right. Load a gun with love.
Yeah.
It's like, buddy, this is not good.
Why don't you take a bunch of friendship pills?
And all these people on Twitter that every day are like, cancel. You're canceled. Well, what does that mean? You cancel people all day.
Yeah.
And then the next day you go, hey, anyone who feels bad, anyone needs to reach out.
Right.
I'm here.
Uh-huh.
What about all those people you just said were not people?
Yeah.
Because they disagreed with you.
Yeah.
You invalidated their existence.
I don't know. No one really experiences real empathy. Nobody has any like consistent beliefs.
No.
I mean, more so than ever, it's like, because I remember it felt like during like the Obama administration,
yeah.
like things kind of felt too exploded. There wasn't,
yeah.
I mean, as like shitty as it is, but distilling like all ideology into left-right dichotomy or
yeah.
whatever. There's Republicans and Democrats and you let the chips fall where they may and you're on one side or the other and that's just, you know, it. Or,
yeah.
And I know that's like an oversimplification. And
no,
mostly
but that's
just
that's
like
largely,
a projection of my own like complacency, I guess,
sure.
during the time. But I feel like now just... maybe it's because of like identity or whatever. Everybody has their own tiny little camps with like five people in it.
Right.
And then there's just no, it's like, make it, you know, if you behave like this, you're bad. And then 5 minutes later,
well,
I'm
something
happened.
Something
way.
Happened.
And
I think.
Justify it based on like my own.
Yeah.
Like Trump pardoning this. Did you say Alice Johnson?
Yeah. Kim Kardashian went to the White
Kim
House.
Kim Kardashian. And Vox had a headline that was, Trump pardoning Alice Johnson is good. The reason he did it is bad. And it's like, edit, just try a couple more times.
Right. Yeah.
Figure out a better way.
Figure
to,
just, yeah.
Don't
spitball.
Don't sound like a toddler having a temper tantrum
yeah.
and like not even be. Because
right.
it's like, let's not pretend like they're like, oh, well, he's just pandering to not seem racist. It's like, you absolutely know as an adult that every politician panders.
Right.
You know that.
Right.
It's a game of trying to get people to pander the right way.
Yeah.
So why now is it a fucking issue when the pandering actually helps somebody?
Yeah, it worked.
Yeah.
It worked.
Wait,
who cares?
Hillary Clinton pays fucking limp dick lip service
yeah.
to the gay community 35 years too late and say, maybe they should be able to give each other AIDS.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, whoa, a hero or whatever.
Yeah. Do you think when Trump got elected, it broke? And there are people out there. I think Hollywood's a good example of this.
Yeah.
Who, when he was elected, it really did seem something broke. There was some mental break. There was something happened.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Where
for sure
it feels like we're not processing events with logic anymore. And the suggestion that we might is problematic. Like the idea that I might be like, hey, let's think logically, because I have mental illness in my family. I'm like very much aware of how mentally ill people behave. They
mm.
they start yelling and frothing at the mouth. I'm that's what I am on stage. You could kind of see.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's there, and it's almost like to suggest that somebody like, sit down, let's think about this, let's go through this logically,
uh-huh.
is an attack on somebody. Now.
Yeah, I mean, you could see it happen with comedians. The election
yeah.
happened, and then, you know, I mean, like fucking like Brandon Wardell posting this like dumb bullshit
yeah.
about like
what?
This is because of irony. This is, oh, Irony did what? This. And he's like, I feel partially responsible for doing Irony or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's like,
that's odd.
First of all, shut up, Brandon.
Right.
But like the
he's like a fine little kid, but it's like
I mean the fact
but he's a kid. He's
that
trying
this
to,
event
yeah.
can like shake the core of somebody as irreverent as Brandon Wardell, whose entire thing is like being a shitty DJ.
Yeah, you're like, a SoundCloud rapper, whatever it is. Yeah,
right, exactly. Yeah. And you like you think you need to be serious.
Yeah, we want that from you.
Right.
We want you to start talking about trade.
Well, you want that from yourself.
Right.
And I mean, I'm shitting on Brandon, but there's like a million examples of people that after the election that got. And you know what? I mean, I can think back. There's like times where that's happened to me in comedy where it's like, this is like gone too far. Sandy Hook kind of did that to me.
Right.
I had a week where it was like, okay, what the fuck is going on?
Right.
But yeah, with Trump, that was like.
Somebody said when
literally
I was out there,
every single comedian in Los Angeles.
I was out there in LA, and somebody said when Tina Fey did Sarah Palin, that was actually a big deal thing because people felt and this was actually a smart person. I was having dinner, and they said people saw that bad coffee.
Oh.
Yeah, it's not good.
Oh my god,
they don't sponsor us anymore, so we can be real honest. Yeah, I mean it's not good coffee.
That's
sorry,
some of the fucking worst coffee.
Yeah, I mean you don't see me. I mean I like coffee too, but I'm not drinking.
Yeah.
But like somebody said when Tina Fey did Sarah Palin, people were like, oh, this worked.
Yeah.
Because she did it so well. She used her own words. And people started to believe that like Hollywood had this larger role to play.
Yeah.
You know, that it wasn't just, you know, hey, let's give a speech at an award show.
Yeah.
It was like, let's fucking really.
But Hollywood's been that way and they've always been fucking impotent.
Yeah.
I mean, they've never done anything.
Because they're in the beast. They're in the system. I mean, you go out there, you go to these beautiful areas. They're living in 10,000 square foot homes. They've got, you know, oodles of money. I mean, this is, they're, you know, they work for these large corporations. I mean, there is no out. There's no getting out.
Yeah.
Unless you do what you've done or what other people have done where you're like, I bring content directly to people.
Well, even criticisms of like, I don't know, limousine liberals or whatever that you want to lob at Hollywood. I mean, like they're just not effective at changing people's minds about things.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Look at all their fucking like campaign. Like the death penalty was huge in the 1990s.
Yeah.
I don't, that, like they were, it was like all these celebrities that were obsessed with ending the death penalty. And I don't think that did anything.
Right.
I mean,
why do you think that is? Why do you think people, is it because of somewhat like hip-hop?
Anti-smoking was a big thing too.
Why do you think people don't get on board with them? I tend to think it's because people tend to have an aversion to it as a concept. Like, I think they know that it's all pretend and that their lives don't mirror our lives in any meaningful way.
Yeah.
And it feels patronizing when people like that tell you to do something or tell you to live a certain
way. That's probably exactly it.
Yeah.
I mean, even as like a child, it felt like ridiculous to listen to, you know, some millionaire celebrity say this is how the world works. I mean, by definition, you're completely out of touch.
There was something I liked about Rush Limbaugh, and I'll tell you why, because he was a fat, bloated capitalist pig who sat in a studio where the golden microphone and he was in a, I think he was in this mansion in Palm Beach.
Yeah.
And it was like, there was, if this guy's pretending to be a good person, he's failing. Do you know what I mean? Like, there was something nice about the idea that, like, oh, this is from the mouth of what you think it's from.
Yeah.
Like, there's no
right.
Rush Limbaugh wasn't like, we're doing a cancer walk on Tuesday. you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
He was like, you know, he kind of leaned in.
Yeah.
And there was something kind of, whether you hate him or not, but there doesn't seem to be too many people doing that. Like, it seems to be, do you think you'll get to a point where, you know, Cometown is a great example of like, you guys do what you want. It's very funny. People are, it's hugely successful. Are there, is that the era now of just more and more Cometowns, more and more independent things?
I don't know. I mean, Cometown's pretty simple. It doesn't really speak to anything. I mean, like, not that there's any kind of like creative direction I ever felt like I wanted to go with the show, but I do remember when the show started, like, a couple years ago with like comedy, I was trying to, and I don't know, maybe just like manifested with the podcast, but I would like think back to like, you know, how hard I laughed with my friends when I was like 12. Over dumb bullshit.
That's when comedy starts.
That's like really all you should be trying to do.
For most people. But for now, it starts when you're at like Yale and you're sitting in a classroom and you're like,
Princeton.
I'm somewhat bored of advanced math.
Yeah.
But if I could think my way into another position.
Right. Yeah.
That will allow me to be famous.
Yeah. I guess opinions first and bitching about not getting opportunities or whatever.
But what, when Cumtown started, it
Sorry, I don't know how relevant the show is. Yeah. It's like a break from maybe like this conversation at large.
I think the model's relevant.
Yeah, I mean, it's like not the model in terms of what? An independent platform and then you go through Patreon or whatever?
I think that's part of it, but also the idea
There's definitely money to be made.
Advertisers, you don't have sales, you don't have standards and practices.
We have advertisers,
but you have ads.
I mean,
but
they can
like,
feel free to drop the
sure,
ads if they want.
You don't, there's nothing between you and your audience. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, even for every special, everything you do at Comedy Central is like, you know, here's a list of jokes and then you're going to come back. I mean, Comedy Central told me, they're like, we don't want to call Richard Spencer a white supremacist. I have a joke about Richard Spencer. I'm like, they're like, can you call him a white nationalist? I'm like, no. Yeah. Like, no.
Why don't they want to call him a white supremacist?
Because he calls himself white nationalist. They don't want to get sued.
Yeah.
Everybody's afraid. We live in this litigious society. So I'm like, no, because then I'm dignifying what he wants to call himself.
Yeah.
No. Mm-hmm. There's no such thing as a white nationalist. This, like, out of nowhere, like, he you know, this is the nicest way to describe what he is.
Uh-huh.
You know? No, he believes in an ethnostate for white people because other people are inferior.
Yeah.
And some people are superior. They'll tell you that. The alt-right will be like, well, China, Jews and Asians are, we can't compete with them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we don't want to carry blacks and Hispanics. So that's why they have this white ethnostate. But I'm like, no, I'm not going to call them that. But they're like, they're all like, you know, hey, so everyone's afraid of getting sued, but you guys, it's like you have the power to just say, hey, fuck it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously anybody can be fucking sued for,
yeah,
you know, whatever.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know.
Me here at Gas Digital have a legal team. Luis Gomez handles everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're very confident in our ability to respond.
It's funny, some people just don't worry about it. Like, Ari just, like...
He doesn't care.
Ari just doesn't give a shit.
He doesn't care.
He'll just, like, use copyrighted content on his show. I asked him about it one time. I was like, what?
Yeah.
I was like, you just open every show with, like...
Yeah.
Just use, like, just playing unlicensed music.
Right. He doesn't care.
Yeah, and then you make a profit off it. And right. He's like, yeah, they'll take it down, but then, you know, I just put it back up.
There's something nice about his life.
Yeah.
It's like no wife, no kids. I mean, there's something also kind of weird about it or whatever. Some people would say, you know, I guess there's a sadness. There's sadness to everybody's life.
Yeah.
But the idea of, like, he can just disappear for 4 months. He can go live in a temple in Tibet.
Yeah.
Yeah, sue me. He's like, sue me. I'm in Myanmar. In a cave.
Yeah.
Good luck, you know?
Yeah. No, he's got a sweet setup. I mean, I would like to... I guess we're not too far off.
Yeah. He's, you know, that's good for creativity.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Ari's a good guy to look at, man. He really has it figured out.
He's a great example of a model that worked.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
You know?
Because he was around for a while.
Yeah.
You know? Before things, like, I guess, got to the point they are now.
And he always did his own thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah. And he's very funny, and he's got his fan base.
That's the thing, too, though, is I know guys that, like, quote-unquote, did their own thing when I was, like, coming up, and, like, you know, they're like, yeah, fuck the clubs or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's like... You do need some kind of validation from the system.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like, I can do my own, I can just continue to do Cumtown or whatever, but it's like, it would feel nice to have some sort of, like, recognition to know that I could write something that would have some kind of, like, mass appeal or at least, like, work, you know, on television, not just have,
well,
like,
it's
a,
just like once
an
you
irreverent
do, yeah,
podcast.
Yeah, you do Cumtown and it's successful. Once you make one thing successful, you want to do other things.
Well, that's really the only thing, like, I feel like, you know, people could need out of, like, the industry is, like, is just that validation.
Sure.
Which I guess the goal should be to, like, strip yourself of that.
Well, it's also, you got to work, and it's still kind of tough to crowdfund a movie, a TV show, a pilot.
Yeah,
these are things
that
are kind of tough.
Yeah.
So I think you got to play their game to an extent.
Uh-huh.
Speaking of which, I don't know if I should talk about it, but I will. Bourdain's production company was a production company I was using for a project, which is always shitty when somebody texts you and is like, oh, hey, Bourdain committed suicide. Hope the show's okay. And
which
it's
one?
Like,
the scripted one or the?
The unscripted ones. But I just think it's hilarious. By the way, I don't think they'll be able to do it anymore. I don't know. I mean, it's kind of sad. It's funny to me, the idea that they have to go from this guy who was like this really high-minded guy, really influential, to like me.
Yeah.
Like, that's such a sad moment. Like, they're just going to be, I'm going to be like, hey, what if I hit Ray Kump in the head with a bottle? They're going to be like, you know, Tony tried to solve Mideast peace, you know? They're just crying. They're like, you know, Tony was a great man, you fat buffoon.
I think they should give Parts Unknown to Mario Batali.
That's
a solution.
He's another great chef. That would have been a great fucking memorial. Be like, you know, Bourdain, we still have Batali.
Yeah.
We still have him. But I'm worried. I want a production company. People that are in tears.
It's so,
watching their lives disintegrate because they have to work with me.
It's so funny that there's such a thing as a celebrity chef now.
Oh, yeah.
It didn't exist 20 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, no. It was like Julia Childs and that's it.
It was the beginning. Yeah, the Gallup and Gourmet. I think Emeril really cemented the celebrity chef.
Yeah.
The idea of like somebody tuning in every night to watch a guy go, bam.
Yeah.
That was a huge show. Emeril Live is a big show.
Because obviously, I mean, it takes some degree of craftsmanship to make things that taste good. But
sure.
Like, not any more so than any other sort of specialized trade.
Right. No. But it's more interesting to watch, and everybody eats.
It'd be like
not,
if there was
right.
like a celebrity like Finnish carpenters.
Right. But nobody.
The guys that make cabinetry.
That's a small group of people that like appreciate what goes. My grandfather was a carpenter, so he would love that. He watched this old house.
Yeah.
But that's like. But everybody shoves shit in their mouth.
That's true.
So to see like some guy doing
it. Well, it's not celebrity like. You know,
right.
Gastroenterologist.
Oh, there will be. I mean, there's enough of those doctor shows now. Well, because stomachs are gross.
Yeah.
People love watching people get new faces.
Uh-huh.
I mean, there's celebrity tuna fishermen.
Are there?
Well, it's deadly as catch.
Yeah,
I mean,
they're
getting snow crab, king crab, sorry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And celebrity chefs only hurts eating. Because what happens is these guys who are really good chefs, what happens is they blow up and then investors come to them and go, hey, how about you have how many restaurants you own now? They're like two. They're like, what about 16 restaurants in Vegas?
We're gonna put you in charge of the Hard Rock Cafe. We're not changing the menu at all.
Yeah,
we just want you know.
We're franchising your name, and we're gonna put it on Wawa's, and basically it's a but that's where they are. Like they'll literally approach them and be like, "Hey, we want to put like a new product. Can we put a Wolf?"
Does Verdane have restaurants?
No. Well, Bourdain had one, Les Hales, in the financial dip. Wasn't great.
Yeah.
I don't think he was a great chef.
Yeah, he just ate things.
I think he was just a guy that went around and was like, I think he was a white guy that was not, he was like visibly fine with other cultures.
Yeah.
So people like that. It's like, oh, he's eating a soup with this guy and he's not, you know, like throwing up or trying to colonize him.
Yeah.
Isn't this nice?
Yeah.
And it's also just like most people have a very low opinion of just because it's just like the idea that like a guy like him, like he went around the world, they were like, he loved other cultures. And it's like, well, he went.
Yeah. People also just like somebody to turn their life around.
Right. Of course. It's like, yeah, he thought they were interesting. I would think it's interesting. Like, you know what I mean? Like anybody.
Yeah.
Nobody would go to another place and be like, oh, fuck these people. I want to be home.
That would be
fucking In-N-Out Burger.
A hilarious show.
That would be the
well,
that's the one
show.
I want to do.
Yeah.
I want to do this show where I go to places and tell you, no, then fuck you.
Parts Untouchable.
Yeah.
Just go to fucking
You
New
just go
Delhi.
To different restaurants. Like,
what the fuck is this?
Chastise them because they don't have buzzers that they hand out
Russian
to people.
Russian dressing. It's ketchup and mayonnaise. Where the fuck is that?
Where are the disco fries?
Yeah.
You fucking. No, but that's the thing. Is like everybody was like, oh, he's a hero.
I'm here in Mogadishu using the N-word at a restaurant.
Yeah, just like a guy like him sitting there and just in this really like, and go, how is this place open?
Yeah.
How are you people even alive?
That would be a great show.
It's that would be funny, but funny is, we can't do it anymore. Would like
nobody knows what, I mean, it's like how fucking.
That would be hilarious. I would never stop laughing at that show.
Yeah, as all like so many, I have so many friends that are professional comedians that can so easily be very funny.
Right.
Just say funny things.
Yeah,
that's why we're in this business. And then they get a TV show and they're like, what if we did the opposite?
Right, right.
What if we tried to be smart?
Yeah, now it's a treatise on.
Yeah, yeah.
But the idea of a chef damaging our diplomatic relationships because he's so aggressive is maybe with American food, which largely is garbage food. I mean, outside of New Orleans and New York and a few enclaves, it's pretty much garbage.
Yeah.
Even the venerable barbecues, kind of whatever, you know? I mean, it's
I don't know. I fuck with barbecue.
Well, okay, but I mean, it feels like you're eating a log, you're burping up wood.
Yeah, you know.
I mean, you can't really compare it to if you go to Rome or France or anything like that.
Okay.
But I mean, the idea of like that guy going around and just insulting people to their face, causing riots.
Yeah.
That's the move. That's the show.
The dinner pig.
That's the show. Yeah. The dinner pig. Do you want your culture respected? Look elsewhere.
Worldwide dinner pig. He just drives there like he's like, we're here in Beijing, and he's got a monster truck.
He's
a monster truck ice cream truck.
We're here in Beijing.
Yeah.
or Shanghai.
Yeah.
Who cares? Yeah. They're all the same.
Drinking, eating eggs boiled in boy's piss. He's like, what is
after every restaurant, he just goes to McDonald's and critiques the McDonald's items that are on the Chinese menu.
Yeah.
He's like, finally, a real establishment that I can enjoy.
Yeah, that would be a good show. We should.
But that's what I hate about Bourdain shows. Like, I hate this foodie culture that's so important. Where it's like, this is how you learn about other cultures. It's like, no, it's not.
Yeah.
It's really not. Mm-hmm. This is how you just go out to eat. Yeah. I've eaten every food. That doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
I've learned very little about Vietnamese culture.
Yeah.
While me and Stavros eat fucking pho.
Yeah.
We're not learning about Vietnamese culture.
Well, also, I mean, like,
we're eating soup.
For even just like assuming that there's a value in learning about other cultures,
right.
Like, why does it require some sort of like consumption that makes you feel good?
Right. Of course.
I mean, it's like you should be able to just talk to other people.
Right. That's what human traffickers are like. They're like, we fuck kids all over Asia.
Yeah.
That's how I learn about Korean culture.
Gluttony is the only way.
Yeah. Stuff in your face.
Mm-hmm.
I love all the things people were like, somebody said about him. They were like, he showed that, you know, that people cared. He cared about dishwashers.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I mean, sure. But also, like, how?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he said tip people. I agree.
Yeah.
You should tip people.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Does anyone at the end of a restaurant, at the end of dinner, open the door and spit in the face of the dishwasher? Yeah.
But see, that's okay. I mean, it's like if you care about people. I mean, there's too much like emphasis on what's an authentic display of you know, caring or empathy or whatever, and which is like most of the time is bullshit.
Yeah,
you know, which like it's fine to call out, but if the thing you're doing has some sort of like demonstrable effect where it helps people,
right,
then like shut the fuck up and don't criticize that,
right?
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like this Lin-Manuel Miranda thing,
you stay put,
that's an embarrassment because he doesn't mean it.
You stay put, you on right. that tweet, he's like, you stay put, don't you tang yourself,
right? Which again, if you were suicidal and you reached out to him, I doubt he would even fucking respond.
Yeah, hey Lin, it's Tim,
send him an email, send him an email, tell him you're gonna kill yourself,
say you'd like to meet for coffee,
right,
and then pitch him a show,
right. Pitch him another rap play called Bourdain.
Yeah, it's about Anthony Bourdain.
Yeah,
but he goes to restaurants and they rap to him.
Yeah.
As they serve him the food.
That's how he learns about black people. Is he goes to a rap themed restaurant in the Congo?
It's amazing. They start rapping.
Yeah.
And start bringing him delicacies.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's like the same thing with this Trump thing. It's like, well, you know, he only pardoned that woman to have a better record on pardoning nonviolent drug offenders than Obama. Good.
Right, who cares?
Good.
Right.
What the fuck do you give a shit?
Right. What does it matter?
Right.
Well, because I think it's always something's always got to be wrong.
How about this?
Motive has to be wrong.
How about this? You're trying to shame people out of being racist by calling them literal human garbage. You're using the same fucking kind of social pressure on people you disagree with.
Yeah.
And it's like, isn't the end result to get them to at least fucking shudder their racism?
Right.
Well, you think you're going to make them not be racist?
Right.
You know, what does it fucking matter?
Right. Well, what do you care?
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
Right. And it's like there's almost more value placed on empty lip service than there is like something that has a real effect.
Does the generation under us go harder into the online world? Or do you think they would
probably be nihilists? I mean, I don't know where you go from here other than
black
just,
pill nihilists.
Yeah.
Who cares what happens?
Yeah. Probably a resurgence of that.
Like, God.
Black pill probably.
Yeah.
Not like the
hardcore,
the carefree Gen Xer slacker nihilism.
Yeah. Just
was kind of the ideal mode, really.
Well, in a system like ours, where so few people are really willing to do the work of changing it, the idea that that people being obsessed with the appearance they're changing it while achieving nothing is so ludicrous and enraging.
Yeah.
Then, you look at the 90s of slackers, just people stoned sitting on a couch. It's like, all right, this is almost easier to take than all of you thinking you're doing something.
Yeah.
By sitting on the couch now with a phone.
Yeah.
And tweeting.
Well, two teenagers just got arrested in I guess like near Syracuse or something, upstate New York for, or Western New York for, taking a video of a mentally retarded kid pulling his pants all the way down to pee at the urinal at his school.
And by the way, if anyone can send money for the Luis Gomez, Dave Smith Freedom Fund, we would appreciate that.
And honestly, that story kind of gave me hope for the future. It's like, good. I guess kids are going to go back to just being
kids are still just having fun.
Honest about being pieces of shit.
Right.
Which everybody is.
Because they're kids.
I would much rather have, like, you know, like the Rush Limbaugh thing. A naked, honest piece of shit. Where there's no attachment of some sort of moral righteousness.
No.
You know?
He would joke around. He'd be like, ladies and gentlemen, people say to me that I don't understand working people, that I don't hang out with it. I hang out. I was on Bill Parcells' jet. He has a job. I don't understand.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was like he leaned in. It was just kind of like, so you're getting that perspective. Because my whole thing in the world was like, I loved talk radio as a kid. I would listen to everybody.
Yeah.
Just because they were all psychotic. I mean, Dr. Laura Schlesinger was a mentally enfeled woman who would go.
You ever listen to Delilah?
Yes.
I love Delilah.
Nobody better.
Dude, her fucking advice to people.
Oh, God.
I was raped by my boyfriend. Well, you know, sometimes we hit bumps on the road. But you got to look at the silver lining to the bumps.
Right.
It's like that mixed metaphors.
And she would always play Celine Dion's Because You Loved Me, no matter what it was. Yeah. Like the lady would be like, I just lost my son and I'm losing my house. And Delilah would be like, well, I have the one special song that makes it better.
Yeah.
This is Celine Dion's Because You Loved Me.
I live under a bridge and I've been drinking Beagle cum for 7 years because I lost my job during the recession.
Yeah. You gave me wings and I could fly. You touched my hand, I could touch the sky. I lost my faith, you gave it back to me. It's like but people like her because before pre-internet, the radio was the only way to get at sociopaths.
Yeah.
Limbaugh, Bob Grant, just crotchety old guy who'd be like, get off my phone, you fake phony fraud.
Yeah.
Michael Savage, Laura Schlesinger. And then obviously guys like Howard Stern and Owen, like that. I grew up in the thing of listening to all of those people all the time.
Yeah. You know who I saw him? I wish I could remember what the fuck it was, but it was like local news or Good Morning America, something like that.
Yeah.
It wasn't Good Morning America, but it was like, and they were talking with John Edwards, the crossing over guy.
Yeah, the fraud.
Getting his opinion about something. And it's like,
and now angel expert, John Edwards.
Even if he had never been outed as a fraud,
right.
It's like he talks to dead people.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know what he could possibly be advising you on unless it's a, you need to talk to a dead person.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fuck. I wish I could remember the fucking context.
But that's not surprising because they're treated. I mean, Teresa Caputo, from where I live in Long Island, the Long Island Medium, is treated as like a spiritual advisor.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Like she's talked about as is, it's like this is provably fake.
Yeah.
She's barely good at it.
Yeah.
She's barely good at what she does.
Uh-huh.
And these people are they're legitimized.
I want to have like a I'm going to sell like a comedic talk show to, you know, any one of the networks that seems to only be buying that. Where I'm a medium that can talk to slaves. Dead slaves. And they give me permission to go in on Donald Trump using whatever slurs I choose. And
this has all been okayed.
Yeah. I have no other thoughts on what the show would be other than that.
You don't need them. That's a rough outline.
A couple of friends of mine from open mics to write it.
Yeah.
None of them have any work ethic.
Right.
You know, none of them can even maintain their dog walking job. But
right.
This will be
because of the capitalist machine.
Yeah, right. Yes. Yeah, yeah. This will be their first and last writing job.
I wrote on that show. Do you remember that show that it was ABC ordered a pilot where it's Nick Mullen talks to slaves? Do you remember that? I wrote on that. Yeah, 2018.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was interesting. He would get permission from the slaves to say the N-word when referring to Donald Trump.
Uh-huh.
It was spiritual.
Yeah.
It was great.
And then we have, you know, like, who would be a guest? I guess...
I don't know.
I guess... Esther Koo.
That'd be a good
guess.
Ali Wong.
Yeah,
come on.
We got Esther Koo for the first episode. We got Reza Aslan and Esther Koo here to talk about
to slaves.
Dead slaves through me.
Right. Delilah was I think something happened to her where she had like a tragedy.
Yeah, her son died or
something.
Okay,
that was that it?
I think so.
Something bad happened to her. And I remember that she like just went in hard into like elevator music, like soft rock.
Yeah. That was the thing that everyone complained that was everybody's funny bit. Elevator music. Oh, who likes it? And they took it away and it's like it was kind of nice.
Yeah, it was nice.
Yeah.
It's nice to have something on in the background.
Yeah.
You know?
I wonder if it was because that the music was playing in the towers.
Was it playing in the towers?
I mean, I'm sure it was. And then, you know, all those people in there hearing that music, they're like, well, this is ruined forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this is probably... I wonder what... I've never met somebody who, like, made it out who's in the building.
Steve Ranazzisi.
Right. That's true. Yeah. I met him briefly.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
I did Sam
story.
Tripoli's podcast. Sam was explaining to
he
me
was
that.
Actually, yeah, it's crazy. He was somehow in both of the towers.
Well, you know what it was? He was balancing himself between the buildings.
Yeah, he's like a man on wire.
He was a midday workout between the buildings. So.
He would do a tightrope act in between the two towers. That's actually how he got into comedy.
Yeah, that was people look at it and they were like, but your real talent's probably satire. He's like, good point, you know? Uh-huh. He's like, this is impressive, but only if you ignore my lounge act.
Yeah.
That's funny. He got a slap on the wrist for that.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
Yeah.
As he should, right?
Yeah, that's one of those...
I mean, I think lying's funny.
I know. I think it's funny,
I think
too.
It's very funny. I think getting caught in a lie is funny.
Well, it's also, too, because...
I like lying. Like, yeah. I like making things up.
Yeah.
I like being in an Uber and a guy goes, what do you do for a living? I never say comedian.
Well, lies that big, it's sort of like a domino effect.
Right. Right.
Like, you know, that Quincy Jones guy a couple years ago.
Well, here's the thing. Let's be a little careful with that. Only because... I've heard... Okay, say what you're going to say about it.
Well, what I think happened.
Okay.
My read on that whole situation.
Can you explain it? Because the audience may not know.
This is a guy, Quincy Jones, who, you know, a couple years ago, they said he had a year to live.
Right.
Stage 4 mesothelioma. And he got an HBO special produced by...
Which, by the way, doesn't... And I looked this up. That does not cure mesothelioma stage 4, HBO special.
No, the only cure...
It's nice to have.
The only cure is class action lawsuits that you purchase right. at 3 o'clock
class
in the morning.
Class action and Bonnaroo. If you get booked on Bonnaroo, there might be some...
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know the guy.
I
met him briefly one time.
Sure.
And what I think would happen based on like just my observation of the whole situation is that he went to the doctor, found out he has mesothelioma, you know, or whatever. It's like pretty bad, you know, best case scenario, you know, you live 10 years or we get rid of it, but it's complicated, you know.
Right.
He goes home. Because
there are people that met him in the scars on the
X-rays. Yeah, they look it up. He looks it up and he's like, oh, fuck, this is pretty serious. He gets drunk, goes to an open mic, goes on stage and he's like, I found out I'm dying, you know, or whatever. I got a year to live, which is like. Comics do that all the fucking time.
Right.
I found out I have like high blood pressure and I go on stage. It's like, I'm going to die of a heart attack in a week because it's funny to say that.
It's very funny.
I mean, hopefully I don't.
Right.
You know, and
I'm
like doing things to manage it.
Yeah.
But like, it's by no means even really that big of a fucking deal.
I mean,
not to compare high blood pressure to mesothelioma.
No, people but I'm dying.
All I'm saying is that he probably exaggerated on stage for comedic effect or just because, like, who gives a shit?
Right. That's what you do.
Now, there was some lady at the open mic that says to him, like, you know, what would you do? What would you do if you could do one thing before, you know, this? And he says, I would love to have, like, a special. Then she, without, like, really consulting with him, she had, like, some producer husband.
Yeah.
She gets the fucking wheels turning on, like, my friend, he's dying. Can we make this happen? And they put together, like, 10 grand or something to, like, shoot this special with this guy. And then she tells him, like, guess what? We're going to do it. And then he has to be like, thanks, you know?
Oh, sure.
And then it's a sort of snowball effect.
And then
thing.
You're on Ellen.
And then you're on Ellen.
Says,
it's like,
well,
at
well,
what point do you say, like, okay, I mean, it's not that serious.
On Ellen would have been funny if he went. I got to be honest. I know we just shot the HBO special. I think I'll be okay.
Yeah, and then I guess, too, from, like, people that know him or would see him around, he was, like, just drinking so heavily after
and
that.
And I guess that's maybe because he was,
it's
like...
guilt or, you know, you're, like, trying to run away. Or maybe even just, like, hopefully the alcohol kills me.
I mean, I gotta die at the end of this year.
Yeah,
something.
Yeah, I mean, because he's still alive, I guess.
So then,
I was never of the opinion that he like completely fabricated what the disease was.
Right.
But I mean, I think he like probably in not necessarily bad faith exaggerated the
it's like 7 years ago in an open mic I was like, I'm gay as a joke, and then somebody in the back was like, that would be good.
Yeah.
So now years later I've stuck with it. But
that's, and then the Ranazzisi thing's probably the same fucking thing.
Yeah.
You know, an offhand comment he made, or I don't know. You can't really tell with people's impulses.
Yeah.
I had a guy,
I just love the idea of going, like, sitting back in a conversation and going, I want to be a guy that survived 9/11.
Yeah.
I want to be that guy because in my head, I know what that impulse is like.
Yeah.
Like, I just want to tell a story from the perspective of a guy that was in one of those burning towers.
Sure. I don't have that. I don't have that impulse.
I don't know why. It's so much fun.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because of my sexuality or because, like, I hid that for a long time.
Yeah.
But I also just love... The idea is creating something that isn't real and then being like, oh, it's real. That's like going out to LA, you have all these meetings. You're basically like, all right, this idea in my head is not real.
I just wish I guess because for me, I so wish I was a completely different person entirely. It's not one singular experience that could change
my
disdain
with you,
for myself.
Right.
But I mean, it was funny. This guy I know, and I can't reveal like too many details because it's pretty obvious who it was, but. They like told me a story years ago about like an interaction they had with somebody. And they're like, yeah, I beat the shit out of that guy. And that was kind of their thing, is that they beat the shit out of this guy.
Okay.
And then I saw him and I repeated that. I was like, yeah, you know, he beat the shit out of, you know, this guy or whatever. And I told it to this other guy. The other guy relays it to the guy who goes around telling the story. And the next time I see the guy who has the reputation of beating up this guy, he sort of frantically approaches me. He's like, John told me that, you told him that, and he's doing this like manipulative thing where he walks back the story and gives me the details in a way where it's like, it turns out he just sucker punched the guy that was like on the fucking ground already. And it took forever to even get to that. It was more he like just witnessed the guy getting beat up, but he's doing it in a way where he's trying to reframe, you know, to like get
you
himself,
misheard.
Yeah,
you,
to, yeah, I misheard or whatever. And it's like, I don't give a shit.
Right.
I really don't fucking care.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's like, that's the other thing with people that make up this stuff is like, I mean, Quincy went as far as to get a whole special. And it's like, once outside of a couple of people that have a bone to pick, because I guess there's like other issues with him just being kind of a shitty guy to certain.
Yeah, I know nothing about.
I don't know.
Nothing about him. Yeah,
I don't know anything about him either.
Yeah.
But I mean, I've heard like,
some people
say that he's like, you know, bad to girls or whatever. But I mean, that gets tossed around all the time.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
You know, once everybody gets past the like, okay, once you understand someone's behavior, and it goes back to just being human, shitty but human.
Right.
It's like, okay.
Yeah.
You know, whatever.
And the other thing is people have varying degrees of success with that type of behavior.
Yeah.
So there seems to be this anger at people that kind of get stuff from doing it.
Uh-huh.
And then there are people that like
which in and of itself is just like bald jealousy. I mean,
you don't think
he's done some injustice.
Well, my favorite thing about
you're jealous that you can't lie that well.
You're jealous that you didn't figure out what he figured out.
Yeah.
You didn't see the flaw in the system that he did.
Yeah.
My favorite thing about people that don't want to pursue a creative endeavor, which by the way, good. It makes you normal.
Yeah.
Don't.
Yeah.
But. And I get in trouble for saying, people tweet Patton Oswalt and all these guys all day. They're like, hey, I'm using all my savings to go around the country doing comedy. I met you 13 years ago when I first started. Worth it? And all these big celebrities who have millions of dollars tweet back at that guy, yes. And I'm like, is there no part of you that goes, I don't know, do you have kids?
Like, right.
There's other consideration. Let me ask.
Yeah.
Does anyone rely on you for anything?
Yeah.
Or are you like, or is this just a religious conviction? Like,
right.
Yes, it's always worth it. But one of my favorite
pursuing any kind of creative interest is cowardice. It's extremely cowardly.
I agree.
And that's why it's always so funny when people are like, well, how do you have the courage to go on stage?
No.
It's like, how do you have the courage to go to work every day?
I don't live.
Yeah.
You're living.
Exactly.
I'm escaping.
I'm crying and running away from my own mortality.
I'm a lounge act.
Yeah.
You're in a yard with children looking at you. You're saying, I'm going to make you people.
Yeah.
I'm in the back of a bar with Joe List and Mark Norman.
Right.
Talking about onion rings or whatever we talk about.
Right.
But one of my favorite things when people say I don't pursue something creative, one of my favorite things is this, which, by the way, you don't need to ever explain why you're not pursuing anything creative, but they go like this. They go, I just don't want to be famous. Yeah. And then they say something about like somebody's life that's supposed to sound horrible. And they're like, you know, this person, I was in a restaurant. I saw Kim Kardashian. She was just hounded. So I'm like, oh, so you don't want to pursue something creative because you believe that you're the person that will become an international superstar.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Also, attention doesn't feel bad at all.
No, it's great.
I have like insane fans. People like threaten to kill me all the time or whatever. And it's like, you know, they know my address and they'll like send me shit. And you don't really have any privacy, but it's like, get the fuck over yourself.
Yeah.
It's cool.
It's cool. And it's the real thing is people are afraid of failing, which is fine. Yeah. They're afraid of it not working out, which is another reasonable fear.
Well, they're afraid of not having control over their image, which is is something that you lose. And honestly, it's with like how much just base level narcissism there is, it's almost like what would be a great medicine for everybody is if everybody's personal life was scrutinized to the degree that would match the celebrity level of narcissism that most people have.
Right.
Because I tell you, there's nothing better for my mental health than when some anonymous person on the internet like will criticize me for something that is like a deep-seated insecurity.
Sure.
Because you have that like first that like, well, you know, you get like, you know, and then it's like, yeah, well, who gives a shit?
Right.
You're supposed to be a person with flaws and things to make fun of, and you're supposed to be able to laugh these things off.
Yeah.
If the end result is like, I mean, as bad as it can get is hundreds of people laughing at you for being, you know, an idiot or fucking, you know,
whatever it is.
And it's like, that's not really that bad. And it's humbling. And like, those are people.
Sure.
Like, they know something intimate about you. It's find a way to like just level yourself with
That's what's kind of. Have you become friends with anybody that you didn't know before that they just know you through like a podcast?
Yeah,
or something?
I mean, I try to. Yeah, like, you know, I mean, there's people I DM with that are just like friends of the or fans of the show.
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah. For sure.
I think that's interesting. Because I meet a lot of people that ask about you specifically.
Yeah.
They're like, what's Nick Mullen like? You know,
I guess
people ask that a lot. I was just in LA staying in somebody's house and they asked that. And I'm like, can you get orange juice? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you're going to like, okay, I'll tell you about them. Can you get milk for coffee?
Yeah.
There's literally no milk. You know?
Yeah. Well, a lot of the like, I guess the kids that listen to the show, like I know what it's like to be one of those internet guys.
Yeah, I guess
where you're just sort of an anonymous,
right?
Sort of, you know, cynical, mean person.
Right.
And underneath that, it's like either they don't like themselves, which is not always true.
Right.
You know, so you can't just, I don't like that either, that blanket statement that like, well, trolls just hate themselves.
Yeah.
A lot of the times they're just bored.
Right.
You know, and boredom is like, fine. You know,
sure.
There's no real malice in boredom.
Right.
It's just what people do when they're idle. So
this is a video game, essentially.
Yeah. So I guess I can sort of relate to that.
And yeah.
Like, so even like negative attention, I understand the impulse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, because there's a lot of people that'll be like, because it is like, I think because I get criticized, people say shit. It does make you angry in the beginning, but I think you learn to just go like, oh, okay,
yeah,
that's an opinion you have. It could be valid. It might not be valid.
Yeah.
But it's also from one thing I said you don't like. Well, there's one clip of me that bothers you.
Yeah.
It's not the totality of who I am, you know?
Yeah.
So that people are very easy to latch on to like a thing and go, oh, that's what you're about.
Uh-huh.
And that's kind of the culture that we live in.
Yeah.
Just people not really taking the time to go, oh, maybe that person.
Well, I think a lot of the people that have a problem with like the things that we do are stupid. And they're not good at comedy either.
Right.
So I don't give a shit about their opinion.
Yeah.
I'm talking about people that are trying to blatantly be mean and dig at you.
Yeah. Well, there are people out there that I think are...
Which, again,
is
fine.
There are people out there that go as far as to say, I think this guy's really funny, but I don't like him. I don't like what he's about.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, or whatever. And it's like, you don't know me. But that's also okay. Uh-huh. I'm not here for the second part.
Yeah.
I'm only here to be like, I'm the only reason I'm doing this is because I'm funny. Uh-huh. It's not because I'm a good person.
Right.
It's not because I thought I could change the world.
Yeah, yeah.
Literally
yeah.
none of those things. Uh-huh. I would have stayed in, like, I would have majored in political science and done whatever these fucks are doing.
Uh-huh.
Literally, no. I literally, so if you say to me, I hate you, but you're funny, that's kind of okay.
Yeah.
That's better than the other side of that.
Uh-huh.
The other side of that is, man, you're a great guy, but I didn't laugh once.
Yeah, there's way too much emphasis on like whether people are good or bad. That's why we need the church.
And most people are nothing.
That decision should be up to God, and people should stop fucking.
Right. The church needs to come back.
I mean,
you
honestly,
heard it here.
Honestly, because
you
half,
heard it here.
Half these fucking
it's
know,
religion.
These scolds, they just want to make moral judgments.
Yeah,
and if that was like just only a higher power could do.
Right.
That,
let's give it to God.
Yeah.
Even just, give it to Allah at this point.
Who gives?
Fine.
A shit? I really don't want to hear from some
matter.
Fucking open micer about who's good and who's bad.
Yeah, right. Or what is and isn't comedy. Like, how do you get to say what is and isn't?
Yeah.
Comedy. Comedy
well,
is
it's
this
also,
thing.
It's also, too, I mean, like, specifically what's, like, funny or what's not funny is, like, that has more bearing on, like, I mean, a good person, nobody's like an expert in, you know, just behavior. I mean,
right.
Judges or whatever,
yeah.
philosophers, but like day to day people, it's not
yeah.
like you can do morality open mics for fucking, you know, 20 years.
Yeah,
know,
we will. We'll clubs. Try.
Sure. I mean, yeah, that's probably,
coming.
Yeah, the next thing. Or
coming
whatever.
Is like you grab the mic, you're like, hey, I just want to let you know
yeah.
I mentored a kid. But see, none of these people even do that.
Yeah.
If you suggest to one of these people that they go to soup kitchen,
uh-huh.
they look at you like you're insane.
Uh-huh.
If you go, you ever like mentor a kid or something? They're like,
yeah.
what?
No, yeah.
No.
I just point out who's bad. And
yeah.
Why, yeah.
I just isolate racists and
yeah.
I say that they shouldn't have a platform.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like,
and you know,
oh, okay.
the only reason you would go work at a soup kitchen is to prove that you're not racist.
Well, right. I've
which
never,
is, makes
I
you
tried,
more, which makes you more racist.
I tried to work at one on Thanksgiving. And they're like, we're full because all these guilty liberals in New York, we're already there.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, they're like, you could fill out an application for future dates. I'm like, Thanksgiving's the move.
Yeah.
I don't want to go Tuesday.
Uh-huh.
I kind of want to have a little fun.
Yeah.
So Thanksgiving's, but I guess I should. Those are things I would like to do more of. I think I'd be good talking to large groups of kids.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing, too, is I have the reason people go into fucking like.
I think they tell me like,
yeah.
hey. We're going to say you did this.
Yeah.
But don't come back.
Right. Yeah.
We don't really want, you know?
Well, people get
nothing
into,
you have is.
People get into volunteer work because they want to feel magnanimous or whatever. But the most of it is like, you know, just sorting fucking trash can liners in like some kitchen that smells like somebody died in.
Right. My uncle,
you have
like.
No interaction with the people you're helping.
Yeah.
And like. That's the kind of work that people don't actually like doing because you don't get anything out of it.
Right.
You don't even get to like.
I know people that are really good people that are like crazy good where
yeah.
they like do missionary work. They go to places, clean water. And it's like they're a different kind of person, you know, like literally a different kind of person. And they're like almost divine. I hate to use that word, but it's like my grandmother was a person who like. Was very selfless.
And she did
everyone.
It because of the church.
Yeah, she was that type of person where she would be like, lend everyone money, do things for people.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's just, but those people are few and far between. The majority of us are not those people.
Mm-hmm.
And especially not the guy that made you laugh in health class.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because he made fun of your health teacher's throat because she used to talk like this and
yeah.
he made
she
fun
had
of
a
it.
Stoma.
And she literally died 4 years later. And, you know, Tim Dillon's going, well, you know, I mean, yeah, no, I wasn't the best person.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, I know I'm not a good person.
Yeah. I don't think nobody that gets on a stage every night
yeah.
is a great person.
Sure.
That's the issue.
Yeah.
We can be good.
Well, I mean, it's also you should try and figure out a way to move away from value judgments about good or bad.
Right.
I mean,
right.
That's
what I learned from that Who Took Johnny movie.
Right.
We can't get too hyper focused on good and bad behavior.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what it accomplishes.
No.
Other than to give people a way to elevate themselves above their peers that they've made judgments about.
Right. It doesn't seem to.
It doesn't rectify behavior.
Yeah.
It doesn't, you know.
It doesn't advance our search to know ourselves or our environments better. It doesn't
yeah.
seem to. None of this quest for any knowledge is like, it's all weaponized.
Uh-huh.
I'm learning something because you're wrong.
Yeah.
I'm trying to prove you wrong.
Yeah.
I'm not like going into this open-ended pursuit of like, let's figure out shit.
Yeah.
You know? Where do you want to? Do you want to live in New York forever? Do you want to like? Do you see yourself on like some type of ranch?
I don't know. You can't know. I'm not a ranch guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you make furniture and stuff, right?
Yeah, that would be nice. Yeah. Have a little shop. Yeah,
shop.
I don't know. What about you?
I don't know.
Just move back to Long Island.
I don't want to move back to Long Island, but I don't want to live here forever. But I've never left because I'm 33, so I've never left New York City.
Uh-huh.
Now I have this job where I can kind of only live in New York or LA.
Yeah.
I mean, until I'm in a different position.
Yeah, no, I'm
and so I can't really, I regret not leaving. I regret not going away to college, but I was doing mortgages. I was like not in college. Like that wasn't my route at all. So like, I don't know. I would like to leave, but I can't.
Mm-hmm.
There's nowhere to go.
Yeah, I mean, Jersey.
I like L.A. I do like the suburbs.
There's Jersey. There's, you know, Pennsylvania.
Yeah,
there's a lot of places to go.
Not with this, but not in this business.
Fuck it, Delaware, you know?
Yes, I mean, Delaware to the place?
It's a big world out there.
Is that a place to go? It's not. The three places you mentioned are not part of the world.
We got a big, wide mid-Atlantic.
I'm not Anthony Bourdain, you know? I just can't go everywhere for 24 hours.
Right. That should be a show. It's like, the parts unknown, but for like... Not just a guy that feels bad for poor people, but for someone that actually is. And they're like, I'm in Dover eating hot dogs out of a trash can. And people are like, this is so subversive.
Yeah.
This speaks to my wanderlust.
This shows the humanity
of
eating a hot dog, a processed meat that I would look down on. But when this guy eats it, you know? Yeah, there's very few. And you know what? Like they did that movie, The Florida Project.
I didn't see it.
It was really good.
Yeah,
and
that's what I heard. I didn't see it.
Like some of the kids in it lived in the actual hotel complex.
Uh-huh.
Like it was about this really poor hotel, and they just used kids in the hotel.
Yeah.
To like, and like the families like back on rent. I don't know if they helped them or not. Probably not. Yeah,
probably not.
I mean, and this is the business. Why would they? Yeah. Right. And it's just like, these are the people that are going to tell
it's exploitation.
Them. Right. It's crazy.
Uh-huh.
When I heard that, I was like, this is insane.
Yeah.
They used the actual kids.
It's so funny. How the worst thing you can do to something is laugh at it.
Right.
That's so much worse than like using it for dramatic and commercial gain.
Right.
Like, we wanted to make a documentary, just like a really groundbreaking documentary about rape victims. So we got a bunch of women and we raped them on camera to see the effects. And people would be like, this is so good.
Right.
This is so powerful.
So moving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, if you're like, you know, made a fictional story.
Yeah.
Where
if this is a fake joke. Yeah.
God forbid somebody uses a fake Chinese accent.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, this man needs to be executed.
Yeah. It'd be just a great call into Delilah. Somebody was like, Delilah, I was raped for a documentary about rape awareness. Delilah's like, that's very tough.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you know, maybe you'll get a free Netflix account out of it.
But more importantly, here is Celine Dion's.
You know what I like to do? Every time I'm raped, I get myself an edible arrangement. I pamper myself.
How about Sherry's Berries? What's cut? Would you like Cumtown, before we wrap this up, would you like Cumtown to do like a... Could Cumtown, do you want it to be a thing where you do a special TV show or something?
No, because like we're going on 2 years now and things have like a limited appeal.
Yeah.
People only like things that are new.
Right.
And the show is very formulaic.
Yeah.
I mean, it's incredibly juvenile.
But it's great. I mean, listen, I know you kind of you're critical of it because you want to, you know, you have a critical mind, but it's really good. Like we got in an argument where I once mentioned the podcast, but you're like, no, this podcast is better than ours. We make more money. And it's like, I don't think it is. Yeah. I don't believe it is. It's a great show. It's a great dynamic. And it's always funny.
Well, I appreciate that.
No, but it's true.
Nothing stays good.
No,
it's like you got to hedge your relevancy, your ability to like have some teeth. Because like, I mean, I do make a lot of money now.
Right.
You know, I'm an upper middle class person.
Yeah.
And I'm like over, it doesn't take long before you adjust to that.
Yeah.
And I am just a fucking just piece of shit now.
Yeah.
I waste all this money.
Right.
I mean, like taking the train back home at 2 a.m., I'm not doing that.
No way.
You know, all these things that I
get an Uber.
Of course.
With a steak. And it's eat the steak in the Uber.
How quickly you adjust to that and lose touch of reality, you know?
Right.
And that'll just destroy my creative.
Now it's a new reality.
It is a new reality,
you know,
but
not
like,
everyone's reality is going to be I'm broke and I'm living in.
Yeah, but that's how it is, and that's why like you know the appeal initially or whatever. I mean, not the appeal of the show itself, but like, it's very hard to not lose touch.
Yeah, yeah.
And to not like take yourself too serious. And you watch it happen to people all the fucking time.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm just waiting for the fucking bottom to fall out.
Yeah.
So, hopefully make enough money that I can, like, sustain this lifestyle through investments. I guess that's kind of the goal before the audience fucking hates me.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing, too, is, like, I feel like I would owe it to the audience to, when I do have, like, a fall, to put it on display. Because they've invested in me. They deserve to see that. Like, I think, like... I was saying the other day, like, Anthony Cumia, like, beating his, like, child girlfriend almost on camera.
Yeah.
And that, like, fall. He did that all sort of publicly.
Yeah.
Whether he wanted to or not, he did it sort of publicly. And that's really kind of how you love your audience.
Right.
Because if they're there with you on the way up, they should get to be with you on the way down.
Sure.
And people should be able to see that entire narrative and how it plays out, because it happens almost every time.
Yeah, to feel truly close to you, because that's what audiences want to feel. They want to feel
close to you, but, I mean, life is shit for most people. And if they gave you all that, they should be able to take it away and then you can have some sort of parody with the audience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jay Leno didn't have that, though.
What's that? Jay Leno didn't have it. Jay Leno
some
hasn't done that.
Some people figure out a way to not... Yeah. No, yeah. I think that's interesting. See, here at Gas Digital, we constantly... We do that every week.
Yeah.
That high and low, it's every week here.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not like one build up and then a fall.
Yeah.
It's a high, it's getting up and then falling.
Yeah.
Getting up and falling.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, you know?
Mm-hmm.
All the time.
Yeah, that's like, I love that. People are like, you just gotta fail a million times and then you'll succeed. And it's like, well, you fail a couple of times, you succeed, and then you start failing again.
Yeah.
And you can't figure out what you did that made you succeed.
Yeah.
And then you end up, you know, 52 years old, you've got a day job again somehow.
Well, maybe not, you know, who knows, you could be dead.
You could be dead, yeah.
You know?
And that's, you know, fingers crossed.
But you don't look back at Come Town and you don't go, oh, I have an idea of why it succeeded? I know you're very resistant to this level of thinking. It's one of our only, I think, areas of disagreement where you kind of almost goes all random. You almost exude that. Well, I don't think it was random. I think without you and without the three, like that, I think that show works for a specific set of reasons.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
I would say that.
I can understand why the show works, but I can also, I know if it was me, an audience member, I would stop listening to it after about 6 months.
Okay, sure.
Because you would just get tired of that dynamic. And that's all it is people like the thing while there's a novelty to it. And then once they know it, they move on. And the best you can hope for is that they move on. I mean, what happens more often than not is they begin resenting it.
Yeah, they
once
hate
something
it.
Is familiar, they hate it. It's like, you know, a woman that you live with.
Right.
You know, you go a year and it's like, God damn it. Every time she fucking blinks, I just want to just smash her face.
And then you do it on camera and your audience sees it.
And they see it.
And you go and they see the descent.
And that's the life. That's a portrait of an artist right there.
They deserve it.
That's what they've earned.
Thank you for coming on. This
Thanks
was such a dark
me.
Episode.
I know.
So
but
nice.
Hey, you know, I like an honest portrayal of me and you hanging out.
Yeah, this is it. You know, a lot of people are like, what's Nick Mullen? Like, this is it.
Mm-hmm.
Here it is.
This is us having a chat.
This is fun.
Yeah.
This is a nice chat about where it all is going to go.
You know what's so funny is because I do.
Inevitably.
I do hate things like this. It's like, but what are comedians really like? It's like, shut the fuck
up. Yeah, who cares?
Just make the joke.
Who cares?
Nobody wants to hear this.
Nobody cares. What is the Yakuza really like?
Yeah.
I don't know. I kind of like the cars and murder, you know?
Uh-huh.
That's what's cool about them.
Then we got like, you go see Cirque du Soleil, but they're like, we're doing a different thing this time. Would we just sit around and talk? Because that's what people really want to know is like, what's going on in the mind of a man
French
who
clowns.
Can suck his own dick dangling from a ribbon 35 feet in the air while he's covered in flames.
Yeah, when does he think it'll end?
Yeah, right. When what does he think about Anthony Bourdain and the reaction on social media?
All right, thank you everybody. RIP Bourdain.
Yep.
Goodbye.